Hello everyone, and welcome to the Rennick Centre podcast. In our first episode, our host, Trudy Smith, speaks with Rosa Wright, an orthoptist at the Royal Institute for Deaf and Blind Children. Within their discussion, Rosa shares a comparison between the eye health system in Australia and the recently visited Sri Lanka, and some of the things she learned during her trip. We hope you enjoy.
So, Rosa, I understand that you spent some time working with health professionals in Sri Lanka in January. What was your primary focus in being there?
I was lucky enough, so lucky, to be invited by the head paediatric neurologist at Lady Ridgeway Children's Hospital, which is in Colombo. And they asked me to be a guest of the Sri Lanka Association for Child Development. And really their focus was for me to present on specific strategies, intervention strategies that is, that can be recommended for children with cortical vision impairment, otherwise known as CVI, which they said to me was really an emerging area for them. And they asked me to run a workshop on vision assessment techniques because they really wanted to see a live demonstration of what a vision assessment looks like, a functional vision assessment, and to see as a result of the kids that I was seeing, I ended up seeing 7 children on stage. They wanted to see from what I could gather from them, what information I could gather from the children, what intervention therefore I would recommend in my opinion. And then the other side of that was they asked me to also talk about how to optimise the functional capacity of in terms of vision for children with cerebral palsy. So I was really, just thinking about it now, I was really lucky to meet so many different health professionals, and they included neurologists, paediatricians, orthoptists, speech pathologists, and occupational therapists. And I really did feel quite privileged to be in the mix with such expertise as, you know, we all were there to discuss the, you know, optimal practices across a range of child-related health areas.
Okay, so I'm really interested when you talk about CVI being an emerging area for Sri Lanka, because it's something that we've treated in Australia for a number of years now.
Yes, yeah, and we have, you know, we have our procedures and processes down pat in terms of, you know, how we assess and what we would recommend and who's involved in that. But from what I found out when I was there was, you know, those children who, you know, have CVI but weren't diagnosed were seen and assessed, but that, I suppose, that next level of going, okay, this is what they're working on, this is where they're working at now, how can we push that and move that forward? That wasn't something that happens there. And so it is new, a new area for them. And while they clearly knew, you know, perhaps what they should be doing in terms of what the research says, I think, you know, by calling someone like me there, they really wanted to see that in action. So I was very excited to be part of that process and to help in the capacity that I could.
Yeah, you're really trailblazing for them. And I wonder, what else did you find out about service delivery in Sri Lanka that's different to what we do in Australia, besides this sort of new awareness and willingness to support kids with CVI?
Yeah, I suppose a really interesting thing for me to hear was that they run specific CVI clinics on a regular basis. And I think they said it was a weekly basis. And these clinics are very busy, and families come from all across Sri Lanka, and when I said, what time do you finish, they say when the last child goes, and sometimes that can be late at night, because kids and families can be travelling so many hours to get there for these specific clinics. So I found that really interesting, because we don't do that here in Australia. We go, you know, maybe ophthalmologist assessors and suspects the diagnosis of CVI, you know, we'll refer to neurologists, and then in terms of early intervention, specialist, that would be the next step in terms of, okay, how do we intervene in that way? So to have these clinics, I found was really quite amazing. And these clinics are really about diagnosing children who are suspected of having CBI, as well as seeing children who have no CBI and working on continuing to work on intervention and where to go next. And so really what they do is they're combining that neuroimaging information along with case history and identifying the CBI behaviours that are characteristic to this condition at that clinic. It is really run by the neurologist and the paediatricians there. So in Australia, we really have, ophthalmologists and neurologists and early intervention workers running largely independently from each other. And so I learned that the work carried out at Lady Ridgeway Hospital is so invaluable to be having this service, and it really is quite pivotal in the area of early intervention in Sri Lanka.
Sure. So given, how pivotal that is, how did your presentation and workshop on assessment intervention fit into that picture then?
And adding on from that, when there's assessment of the child's visual function, which, would typically happen, there is also the individualised and specific advice given to parents then and there about what the next step in visual intervention should be. And that's where my expertise came in. So an example of this, there would have been a couple of children that I assessed on stage for this, and you could see that, there were young children who had limited visual awareness of objects, and therefore they've got a poor visual response. And so therefore the neurologist has to think about what type of intervention is needed at this level. So my presentation and workshop focused around what type of intervention and advice could be given then and there to parents. And so in this scenario, the intervention is really focused on trying to promote the child's visual responses and to make them more deliberate and consistent. And so the neurologist can then advise the parents to play with their child, for example, using a light-up toy in a room that is dimly lit or has reduced illumination. And so in this setting, they're really trying to work at encouraging the child to really become aware of an object in their visual environment. And of course, later on as the process unfolds, you don't have to do it in a dim light situation. The lights can be turned on, but really we're trying to, some professionals say, wake up the visual system. Okay, you're really starting from the beginning. And that's okay to do, but you have to have that understanding of where do we start from here. And so, for children who are more visual, their advice would also be talking about how to best incorporate this and the visual skills that need to be taught into their daily routine so that, the skill can be practiced more. And of course, how to eventually integrate these visual skills into meaningful activities that would help the skill to be, naturally demonstrated. So, it's absolutely amazing to think that all this information is given to a child at each visit when they go to the CBI clinics in Sri Lanka. But it was clear to me how well these clinics are run with especially limited resources, and I could see how connected the professionals were and how, family focused their approach was. And, it made me see and really highlight to me that I think this, when that's your approach, you will always offer an invaluable service, which is fantastic.
Absolutely. Is it a one-off visit for families, or is there ongoing support? Do the families keep coming back, or do interventionists visit them at home? How does that work?
So once they come to the clinic, once the intervention is given, for example, play with your child with light-up toys, make sure you do this daily, for example. And then they go, okay, we'll book in for the next another 3 months. So when the child is seen in another 3 months' time, they're hoping to see the child and go, oh, wow, the child is now attending a lot better to light up toys. Okay, let's move on to this toy here, or let's, you know, start turning on the lights, the overhead lights, so that child can see it better and is it in and really is attending to an object, even though it's light up, in an environment that is more the natural state, so with the lights on. So, they are saying, I think it might be, it really depends on, you know, how long the, or when the families can come back. But from my time there, it was, you know, even 6 months, the child can come back in 6 months, and that's why it's so important. Because the parents are really taking that on, and that's a lot of time to just say, this is how your child's seeing. So for the neurologist and pediatrician to go, okay, what are we going to ask the parents to do at this time so that in at their next session, whenever that is, that there has been an improvement in the child's functional vision, so they're really trying to work on that. But they will come back. It's not just a one-off.
Sure. And we know in true family-centred early intervention, the practitioners and the parents have equal relationships.
Yes.
Is that the same? Yes. Did you observe that in Sri Lanka?
Yeah, I did. And I felt like because children come from afar, from all around Sri Lanka to be there, the parents really do have to be that person, that key person who is helping the child in this process. And I think maybe in Australia, you know, as we know that, but I think sometimes some parents, you know, may step back a bit and go, oh, this is the occupational therapist is here, or the early interventionist is here, and they're doing their thing and they're showing me. But, you know, there might be that aspect of, you know, we're working and we're both doing our job. But I think in Sri Lanka, it was there was a lot of onus put on the parent to continue to do that. So it's while, you know, there is the practitioner and the allied health professional and the parents in that common relationship, I do feel like the families and the parents in Sri Lanka had a lot more of that, I suppose.
Great. Okay. So what's something that you learnt from your time in Sri Lanka that you'd like to share with us today?
The whole experience, I think, in being there, because it really took me from what I know and my experience here in Australia to Sri Lanka. I found it amazing to be part of the vision impairment experience, an early intervention experience in another country. And it really highlighted to me that although we may physically be far from each other in terms of distance, that we all have the same concerns for, you know, the families that we see, and we all have, you know, the same motivations and goals for the children and families that we see. So it is important that we continue, I think, to share this information and to learn from each other. And no matter where we come from, really, because there is so much that we can continue to learn about from each other in this whole process, because we are working together on the same thing. So it was a fantastic experience for me to be a part of.
Brilliant. Look, thank you so much for talking with us this afternoon and for sharing your expertise both with us and the professionals in Sri Lanka. And we wish you every success with your ongoing work with them. So thanks so much for today.
This concludes the first episode of the Rennick Centre podcast. A huge thank you to Rosa Wright for her time and sharing her knowledge and experience with us from her recent trip to Sri Lanka. If you'd like to know more information about the program offerings of the RIDBC Rennick Centre as part of our continuing professional education courses, please visit the Short Courses website, shortcourses.ridbc.org.au. We look forward to seeing you next time.